Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... all right, let me... Yeah, up to Pika Godel. We spoke about the concept of your certainty. Did we speak about your certainty? It's a very crucial concept in Torah. You are mechuyev, right? That's the geda, really, of shaveh nafshayu chaticho. This is what I told you. The idea that the whole world can tell you otherwise, right? But if you know, right? If you know it's osa, right? It's osa. That's all. It's nothing. So much so that you are take obligated. I can't serve you, even though I know it's kosher 100%. But you know that when you shechted the animal, right, you stepped off, or you were a shoye for a split second, and everybody saw it, right? Or let's say somebody else did it. Everybody saw that person doing it, and nobody paid attention that he hesitated for a split second, or that he pressed down for a split second. Nobody paid attention. I did. I have very sharp eyes. So for the whole world, it's osir. It's mutar, and for me, it's osir. But it's really osir. It's not because I think it does. It's really, really osir, right? So that's the concept of your certainty. The incredible thing is that Pnimi Golem brings down a shita that it works also lekule. That is the incredible chidush. That eino chinami, not borabi. You can't do it borabi because they are obligated to stop you. Let's say you know for sure that something is kosher, and the whole world, without exception, knows that it's treif. Bein chol levein atzmecho. Are you allowed to eat it? Right. So most people say no. I mean, some people say it's totally in a machlokes Rambam and Raivad. I forgot already what the machlokes Rambam and Raivad was, but it's totally machlokes Rishonim. But there is the Prime Godim brings down Ashite, that if you are convinced and nobody sees you, you follow what you believe. Right? That far. Right? What? In Shavin Avshay Chaticho Disur, in your day, right, when he talks about Shavin Avshay Chaticho Disur, he tells you the other side also. But there are many who talk about this particular, this problem, this the idea that you are certain, are you allowed to do it Betzino? I mean, for sure not, but Betzino. So the idea is like this. You know, when the Rambam talks in Hilchos Mamre, when he talks about what to do, you remember the three types of halachas. There are halachas that are halacha lemoishem Sinai, and those halachas there are no machlokes, and it's not chayach machlokes, it's not chayach two opinions. That's all, finished. But then there is a whole body of Torah that's based on the midesh haTorah nidreshes. In other words, it's not the one. When we say Torah, the midosh haTorah nidreshes, we don't mean only the midosh haTorah nidreshes. Meaning, diyukim is also svored that you can come to certain decisions in Torah based on that svored. Svored is also mina Torah, right? Some say that it's all included in kal v'chomer, everything which is logical. But whatever it is, but you can build up something on your own. And then next Beis Din will come and pass exactly the opposite, even though the Beis Din before was much greater. Right? Remember, there are no, according to the Rambam, the restriction of Godol bechokhmo v'minyan. You know that the Gemara mentions that it has to be Godol bechokhmo v'minyan, that it has to be qualitatively and quantitatively. Many people say quantitatively means the amount of chavchomim in the generation, right? The Gemara mentions that. So the Rambam says that only applies concerning gzeirois v'takonois. In other words, if Chachomim will make a gzeiro, netilas yodaim, for instance, then if you want to be mevatel the gzeiro of netilas yodaim, you have to be bigger quantitatively and qualitatively. But what about if it's something that we learn out from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes? The next bezin, who is much smaller than the Beis Din before, is, says, listen, I'm sorry, I don't hear it. Therefore, the halacha ela shofet asariya bisma, in New York Times, that's the halacha. It's an incredible zach. You know, it's a tremendous koyach that the Torah gives, right, to the chochom. Right. So now the question is, fine. So that's as far as the chochom is concerned. What about I? How do I know who is right and who is wrong? Right. So the idea of counting heads doesn't apply, because you know that it says that there's a Rambam that talks about the fact that the whole idea of Hoilchim Boso Roiv is only when the Roiv decides together. You know, it's in a Sanhedrin, not based on. But, like, Lemoshel, take a look. you know that there is a halacha that a basin, or a lemoshel, killings, you have to have 23, right? Lemoshel. So, if you have, let's say, 13 against 10, lecholadeyes, it's okay, right? You can't have 12 against 11, for instance. But 13 against 10, it's lecholadeyes. So what about if 10 people are missing, right? And 13 people are there. And 13 people say that he deserves the death penalty. Limoshel. Does it work? More. 22 people say that he deserves the death penalty and they didn't find the 23rd. 23rd didn't come. He said, Emil Yodea, for instance, also. What's the halacha? Gornish. It's not called that it's being tried. Why? Because you have to sit down together and the Roiv must listen to the Miut. If the Roiv didn't listen to the Miut, there was no Shak Levetaria. You know, that's one of the Pshot. I mean, if there is a unanimous decision about the death penalty, you don't give the death penalty. It's not anymore how to learn Pshat, but most people learn Pshat. That if Kuloi Chayev, if everybody says Chayev, right, 23 people decide on the death penalty, right? You know what the Halacha is? Can't give him the death penalty. What's the story? You have 22 against 1, you give him the death penalty. 23, can't give him the death penalty. Why? Push it. You need the Havitzilu Eido. You need another tzad. If you don't hear the other tzad, your tzad has no basis, has no solidity. It's a tremendous depth, this idea. In other words, you can only establish your tzad if there is someone else having another tzad, and you still hear your tzad after looking for the truth. Oh, then your tzad is that stark tzad. But if 23 people say that you deserve the death penalty, what's the guy that you really deserve the death penalty? There was no devil's advocate, if you know what I mean. You see what I mean? It's an incredible tzad. So you need the other tzad. So therefore, as long as the Chachomim didn't sit together and discuss it, don't talk to me about Bosohoiv, right? It's not child to decide Bosohoiv, right? Therefore, when the Sanhedrin stopped meeting, there is no such a thing as Hulchinach HaRoiv. No such a thing. It's an incredible zach. So, if there is no more Hulchinach HaRoiv, so, where is the Aloch of Hulchinach HaRoiv? You know what the Ramban says? Be'echus. Incredible zach. And that's what, you know, that's the, he puts us in a matzav of terrible problems. You hear what he says? Eichus. And this is the reason why Shammai held like they held. Right? Because in most of the times, you know, Shammai was a mute, except for a few cases, right? Most of the time, Shammai was a mute. But they said to themselves, but we are a roiv in Eichus. We are qualitatively more than Hillel. So therefore, we have to, you know, we have Baloch is like us. Why? Because since, you know, in those days, there was a problem with counting heads. You know, they asked the question, why by Hillel the Shammai, why couldn't they get together all the time? They did it every once in a while. But all the time, count heads. It's a sophic, toras elvas, whatever. Right? It's a sophic. What did they do throughout Jewish history when there was a sophic? You go up to the Beis Hamikdash and you go to the Lishkas HaGozis and you go up with the, you know, to the highest court and you count heads. That's how you make decisions. Right? So why didn't they do it in the time of Hillel and Shammai? Oh, so that's what they say, because they were afraid, because the Sanhedrin, very often, they were appointed, right? A lot of tzedukim were appointed because of the problem, of the pressure of the government. So therefore, if there was no consensus, they didn't count. The moment they stopped counting, so you can't go Bosohoiv in Kamus, so then you start going Bosohoiv in Eichus. Who is to tell who is a greater, you know, the Roiv in Eichus? So I found the following analogy, right? First of all, let me tell you the Loshen HaRam. Loshen HaRam is so good. It says, the Rambam says, you know, what are we to do if the Sanhedrin didn't pass? Did you see, do you have a Hilchos Mamrim here? What are we to do if we don't know, right? No Sanhedrin. No vote, right? No vote, right? So what do we do? Very interesting Loshen, right? It's a Loshen HaGimorim.
Did you go Basero Pe'efus even when the Kamas is all legitimate?
No. If you sit down together, then the Torah says you go Basero Kamus. But when you don't sit down together and count Basero Kamus, then you're bound by Yechus.
So the Rambana saying only when you can't go by the other?
Yeah, if you can. But the only way you can go Bosor Eichus is if you sit down together, discuss it with each other, and then count. When any one of those potim are missing, Kamus doesn't count. And then you have to turn towards Eichus.
You can't do Eichus
Nechatim? No, that's not. Because the Torah says, Roiv Deyes. But we are teaching Gop. What does the Torah mean? How many conditions does the Torah require for that? That's what we are teaching Gop. So, let me show you. It says like this. In loy ho yo adobor bor reitzel bezin agodl donim boi b'shaiton v'noisim v'noisim v'dobor ashi yaskimu kulam. So lechatchile you try to find a consensus. It was always like that. Or if you can't find a consensus, then yamdu leminyen v'yelchu acharoy. Right? V'yoymur lechol ha-shoelin kach halocho v'holchino. And that's the end of the story. Mishebotel based in a godl, what happened afterwards? Then takerovso machloikes bisoil. Then by its very essence, there has to be a machloikes, right? Zemetame, the noisen talmidvo, zemetame, noisen talmidvo, zeoisev, zemate. So what should I do? Shnei chachomim, or shnei botaydin, mishenechelku, sheloi bizman asanhedre. So what should we do? Right? Echod metame. Listen to these words. He's talking to you and me, right? That's what the Rambam is talking. Im ein cho yoideya leheichon hadin noite. You hear what he's talking to you and me? Im ein cho yoideya leheichon hadin noite. Then there are general clothing. Bishel toiro hilchin achar machmi. Bishel le divreim hilchin achar meiko. I want to know, what does the statement mean? Leheichon hadin noite. Leheichon hadin noite is a loshin ha-gimore. The Gemara talks about that sometimes people make a mistake. A Beit Din can make a mistake, not in a klore haloche, but in a netiye. Right? Now, sometimes you can make a mistake, not in a klore mishne, right? Tobidva mishne, there is a tobidva mishne. But sometimes they can be in shikla das, a netiye. What do you derive from this statement in the Rambam? Im ein cho yoideya leheichon adinoite, then there are rules. Implication.
If you do know where the din is, Michael.
More. He's telling us that we should know. But with the evidence, you don't know. So he's telling us, little guys, that's what he's talking to, right? He's saying, those big batei dinim, one says one way, one says another way. So you, the little guy, what should you do? You are stuck between the two gdoilim, right? So what do you do? So you, little guy, have the obligation to figure out, leheichon adas noite. Obviously, neither one of them is making a mistake in advar mishne, right? Obviously, it's a double. You can hear this way or can hear this way. It's your obligation to hear one way. Ah, you can't. Ah, so sure, it's passive. And if it's a shalena deiraisa go lechumra, that's all. But be passive, no more. Now there are general rules. The analogy that I found is the following. Let me just bring up this point, and then I'll let you. Yeah. Mamri perek aleph. So let me just bring up this. How do you choose a doctor? How do you choose a doctor? Right? Let's lose our sake. How do we choose a doctor? Obviously, we can't get together a basin to choose a doctor. There is a very complex process how you choose a doctor. You first of all hear, my aunt, my cousin, my neighbor, right?
Based on outcomes.
But you don't know. Have you checked them?
Outcomes, the people that
get better. You know, people tell you. And each one, you give a certain value to his opinion. My next door neighbor, between a scale of 1 and 10, her opinion is 1. My cousin, his opinion is 9. And little by little, in a very complex matter, in my mind, without exactly quantifying, right, I form an opinion, right? Now, is that the right way? Vadaina. The right way is, when you choose a doctor, that you should go to medical school for 15 years, right, specializing what's bothering you. And according to all the information you have, you choose, you check the doctor and you do it. Isn't that the ideal? Who has 15 years? Right? You have to decide tomorrow, right? So you do second best. So in other words, you can't make decisions based on the issue itself, because who are you to make an issue? I can make a decision about the medicine. What do I know about medicine? So I put together other tzdodim. what kind of an impression does the doctor make? Is it this kind of a person or this kind of a person? My cousin, what kind of a person is he? Says so. How strongly did he say it? And in this very, very complex process, I make a decision who is the better doctor. Punct, exactly the same way you make a decision who is your God. Exactly the same way. You hear?
I have a better way.
What?
I have a better way. Let's both to pick a doctor and pick a God.
Again?
I have a better way to pick a
both.
Doctor and pick a God.
Yeah.
Once another God, then it's another God. Maybe in ideas, I tell you, they're bigger than most of the Gedolim today. He said, how do I know who's the Pesach Hadar? Well, let's see how many volumes he wrote. Yeah. This Gedolim today, I've written 20. A lot of volumes. Yeah. If I go by the Kamus here, so I'm going to have to pick out somebody who's a little bit obscure. So what do? So I open up, maybe there's one. Somebody wrote, well, I've sleeved the amount of volumes of that one. Let's see who asks the question. Who are the Shoyalim? Who's asking this Godel his opinion? This is the one who wrote 20 bombs, is Professor Pliny and Dr. Pliny, and then this guy and that guy, and this Prime Minister and that Chabad Knesset. And the other one is this Rosh Basin, and this Ravid, and this Godel, and this Rosh Hashiv. And this. So who are the David Makers, the Godel? Same thing I would do with the doctor.
It's ridiculous.
I would go to...
Wait.
I would go to... Who are
people that are asking? Who said that they're people of any importance?
That's how I pick a doctor.
The flaw that in your thing is... You are picking the next Godel after you. You know what I mean? You are at this level, right? You are trying to pick who is above me that they can tell me something about the one above him, that can tell me something about him. You have to start from the beginning. You have to decide
everyone
that those Shoyalim are the Doyle.
Everyone has a beginning. Everyone has an opinion.
That's exactly. In other words, you have
everyone
to create a pyramid of confidence. That's what you're saying. That's exactly the chat. That's exactly the chat.
I'm saying more than that. To choose an expert in the medical field, this is the way I do it. I go and ask the doctors. Who is the recognized...
But how do you know that this doctor who is telling you that he is reliable?
I don't know that he's reliable.
Right? Because again, because of the neighbor of the doctor, there is always a link. And as you said, there is a link. And the hospital, something. And that link makes it... In that very complex... You know, it's... You're saying exactly what I'm saying.
It makes sense to go to an expert in the field, whether he's recognized by me or not recognized by another institution.
You're starting from the end. Who is the expert? I don't know anything. How can I know that this works?
Whoever practices in this field is a
there's some coach in the world that knows everything.
Your flaw is that you start with an assumption that you have to prove. You understand? You have to prove.
No, I know a doctor. Every
you know that that doctor is good?
Doctors have 70% success in this operation. 10 doctors, each one of them has 70% success in the operation.
Yes, again, you're saying two equal doctors.
I need to make a certain transplant.
Yeah.
Because I have a list of 10 doctors. Each one of them has the same statistics. Each one of them has 70% success rate. That's something I know these are experts. They're successful in their field.
Yeah, that's a quantitative decision.
Let's I go to each one of them.
Yeah.
And I can be as a patient, nice and nice, and what do you think about what he's doing? You see, I can get an impression from them.
We are using an analogy. You know, remember, the problem with analogies is that the analogy is just that, an analogy. It's never exact, you see. The problem with Gdoilin is they can't prove results. Doctors can prove statistically, supposedly, assuming. He has a 90% rate, and this one has a 10%. Yes, sir. A Godel can't prove success. Right? He can't bring a picture of Gan Eden and show. You see, my followers are here.
You bring a ram which has the psakaloha, or are you talking about a shkof is
David? No, we're talking about psakaloha. Who is your Godel for the psakaloha? Your goal for psychologim, you must develop a pyramid of confidence. A pyramid of confidence. And that pyramid of confidence is exactly what I was telling you. Right? The same way that you decided on that doctor. Well, he's good because, you know, he has a degree, and I know from my neighbor that having a degree...
Every place has no shas and poskim, right? So that's where I start.
So I check him out. I give him a bechina.
That's not very difficult, you know.
To give him a bechina?
Not even to know whether he knows shas and poskim. It's difficult to know.
And once he knows.
Balbatim of the shul, I'm not the balbatim. Know whether the rabbi knows all shas or shlishi shas. The balbatim, you can know.
We are not choosing between somebody who knows shlishas and all shas. They know shas, and I am no expert to know whether they really know or not. And I have to choose between them.
So who do they choose?
What?
Who did I
talk to? The question is, I don't follow. I don't want to go get out of the thing. You see, the point is like this. You have to realize you are creating, whether you want to or not, you are creating a pyramid of confidence. Right? Everything you are saying requires a pyramid of confidence. Rabbi Sol Salanter says that the Balabatim. Who is Rabbi Sol Salanter?
Forget it.
You have to. No, you don't understand. Right. You don't understand. Okay. You must develop a pyramid of confidence, which includes everybody in the world, everybody you hear an opinion, your friends, your chavruses, your neighbors, your uncles, and your grandparents. You and I. You and I. Have you ever analyzed how. What? No. We are not. You are just blind to your own decision-making process. This is not the problem. We become blind. You say, what do you mean? My Rosh Yeshiva told me that this guy is a godel.
That's why I should pick a godel by making a pyramid confidence.
I'm not saying that you should. I'm saying that's how you did it. And I have no idea because I don't know you. I'm telling you this how we all do it.
Explain to what a pyramid.
You see,
it's totally subjective. What you're saying, you're using a subjective tool.
Absolutely subjective. Absolutely subjective. Right? Let me tell you. Listen, I don't want to talk about it. Anyone who doesn't see it is absolutely blind. And I'm sorry, listen, I don't know you, but let me tell you. Analyze it yourself. How did you develop? I have no idea how did you come to that point? How did you come to that decision? Right? Make a cheshbon from when you were 10 years old. What did people tell you to lead you eventually to this godel? I'm surprised that somebody doesn't hear it. I mean, I'm really in. Yeah.
Does the pyramid of confidence necessarily work from the bottom up, or can it work from the top down?
How can it work from the top down if you don't know who the top is? I thought it's Gordon shooting what I'm telling you, I realize that it's not. You see, we are so blind, right, that we don't even hear. That's not the problem. We are so blind that we say, listen, that so-and-so is a godel, that's nishtobos to reden, right? Okay. What do you mean? How do you know? How do you know anybody? Let's not name names. I don't want to name names at all.
What are you talking about?
Haloche, hashkofe, anhoge, politics. What's the difference? I don't understand.
A din. I don't think I've placed it.
Same thing. I don't understand. I know somebody who I trust, and he trusts that other guy who told me that so-and-so is the godel ador. So I have created a pyramid of confidence. On top of the pyramid of confidence is that godel who the people I trust, because I don't know that godel, I mean, I hardly see him. I go to ask him shyless only, right? Believe me, it's going to shoot him. I'm not telling you any chidushim at all. I mean, you just have to open your eyes. That's all. There is a pyramid of confidence. And that pyramid of confidence is different according to your family, according to your environment, according to your friends. You develop your own pyramid of confidence, right? This is the way you do pick daily. It's not telling you that's the way you should. That's the way you do. Right?
I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. If you see a person who knows everything, and where there's no girsa anywhere, and Kabbalah everywhere, and you see total shleimus and midas, where at least le'enei, everyone who's ever been in contact with this person, there is a superior personality in every way. Is that really subjective? Is that a subjective thing?
Oh, definitely. Listen to this statement. Let's not name names. Let's not get into the mistake of naming names. You know, you hear a person, you say, oh, was he wild? Did he curse out people? Oh, he was terrible. And who did you go for shyness? To him, of course. So, but you just told me that he was such a wild guy. Whoever came in, he cursed him out. Well, it was him. You never heard that? No naming names.
No,
you never heard that?
No, Vada.
You never heard of that?
Vada, but what about the other type of personality? Other type of personality where I don't have the stira, where you see a personality who's fiery, and therefore you begin to make certain judgments, you know, certain gedolei chassidus where they were, they did things, you know, that were different. Different. But when you see someone on the other side where you don't have to make that type of value judgment, where you simply see anova chesed, not a shemitz of lashon hara, but like
cool. Anyone like that?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, but let me tell you. Somebody who actually met the Chofetz Chaim, I believe, no way that I can tell you for sure, that he would have the closest, right, chain, you know, because really, you realize that there is a chain. And that's where the danger is. Because I have to rely on one who relies on him, who relies on him, that he's the God Lador. So that chain, by its very essence, because it has so many links, it's weak because it has too many links. Because I don't know the God Lador. I have to rely on one who relies on one who relies on one, that is the God Lador. But if I myself have a shaykhes to someone, that the Arumu Narum, plus is Yediyah in Shas, right, gives me the impression that this is it. It's Lehavdil, like the doctorate. I see tremendous ideas. I see how, you know, how he talks and how much he cares. Lehavdil, I would choose him 100%.
You see that he's 100%. And you see that he's right.
Right.
In every diagnosis.
Exactly.
And you see that he's right in every diagnosis.
In other words, the shorter the chain, the less subjective it is, the more objective. The more the chain, right, the less objectivity you have to have. You have to have more subjectivity. All right? That is the Das Noite of the Rambam.
I mean, that's not a pyramid of confidence. Why shouldn't I go about it like that?
Why shouldn't I go about it like that?
I will become myself erudite and proficient in this, and I will be able to judge it as objectively as possible.
100%. Okay. That is the ideal. You remember I told you in the analogy. Ideally, every one of us, right, should go to, so-and-so and say, you are the God Lador? Wait a second, do you know the Toysos in Tmura about that? Yeah? Oh, do you know this and that? Oh, you know? Oh, so now you are my God Lador. That would be the ideal. That would be the idea, 100%. Right? Short of that, right, we have to build up the pyramid of confidence. Right? That's what I mean.
We only have half an hour, so let's ask other topics. Perhaps the Rav could discuss if we're going to be manigim, if people are going to come to us and say where am I going, where do I have to go, what's my mahalach in life, the person's going to ask the Rav, where should I go, what direction should I lead, what is the general idea that we give over to a congregation, to a people, to the Balatan, how they should lead their lives, and which mahalach, which derech, in terms of that, where should they grow, where, what their purpose is, etc. It's a very, very broad question.
Can
I give a mahalach that the Rav has thought of?
It sounds very cynical, but the mahalach is yours. That's very important. Very, very important. That you have a mehalach. You are either a chosid or a misnagid. Either you believe in this chosh yeshiva or that chosh yeshiva. Right? It's absolutely valid. Not only is it valid, right? It works. Because if you start saying, well, listen, we have to be removed, you know, and we have to watch and analyze objectively, right? Cool from the side, right? And, you know, perhaps he is right, and perhaps he is right, and we can, watch, be a very objective audience from the side, you are not going to be effective. You are going to be much more effective taking a stand, right? Your stand, if you have a stand, right? And work with your balebatim according to your shittes. It's 100% valid. With the condition that the other side is not presented with hatred. It's very, very important. The other side has to be presented with understanding, but your position, right, don't be lukewarm, right, just because that wishy-washy attitude doesn't go over it, because there is no intensity. Intensity there is only in a commitment. In the objective, in a scientific view, well, this God has this flaw and the other God has that flaw, so therefore, no. Your Godel is Kemalach Hashem Tzvokos, right? And the Balebatim should, you should work towards the goal that your Balebatim should see you as their Malach Hashem Tzvokos. There is such a getter, right? In other words, you do take a position, right? You do that derech, and that derech is what they follow. That's all. Be very careful how you present the other side. That's all. Right? Never with hatred, as long as it's within the framework of Torah. And even if it's outside the framework of Torah, right, you have to stress the mistake, again, without hatred. Crucial, no hatred.
My question is just a little bit more particular in terms of when a Balbas comes and asks, what am I doing here? And like, how do we approach the Balabatim from what is their tafkid? I mean, I'm a Rav and they're a Balabatim. What is their job in here in this world? What are they supposed to accomplish? What are they here for? People are asking for meaning in life in this situation. Yeah. It's just there. So what do we tell them in terms of what is their meaning?
Well, let me tell you. You know, once I don't know if I spoke here about the goal of Yaakov vis-a-vis the goal of Esau. Right? What was Yitzchok's idea when he gave the broche to he wanted to give the broche to Esau? What was his idea? I mean, he had a havamin. What was his havamin to give the broche to Esau? Point is like this. You see, that's the Amekdor, the Netziv. The Netziv says that Yitzchok was right. I don't ask you, Yitzchok is wrong. Yitzchok is right. The right way is that someone who is immersed in Torah should be only immersed in Torah and not in Derech Eretz. You know what I mean? I mean the Gashmias of the world. Gashmias of the world and Ruchnias, right, should have no shaykhes with each other. Esav is supposed to be the Gashmias of the world. Ish Yodei Atzayit, Ish Sodeh. And Yaakov Ishtom Yoshev Oyalim. Right? That is the ideal. Right? The ideal is that each one has his own very, very defined goal in life. Yaakov and Esau. Right? Unfortunately. Rivka, you know the whole thing, there's a whole yesoid that the difference between the ovois and the imohois, why there are shloisha ovois and four imohois. Because you know that the number three is anything which is established is three. Anything that you want to establish, like a table, can't have a two-legged table. You need a three-legged table because you have to establish something, right? Amuet. What makes somebody a shor amuet? Three times, right? How many sira years hazok? Three times. This will be three. Three establishes, right? That's why we have three overs. So what about the fourth leg of the table? Why was it added? Because three is vulnerable to the reality of life. You can very easily push it. And if it's three, it's not strong enough. So the number four represents the strengthening of the three. That's what the number four represents. So the point is like this. By the ovois always represented the ideal. The imohois represent the ideal coming down to earth. The ideal is not to throw out Ishmael from the house. Right? The realities of life demand that we should throw out Yishmael from the house. So who came and said it? Sora, right? Not Avram, because Avram represents the ideal. The ideal is that Yitzchok should be Mekarev Yishmael. Sora brings down the ideal to the real world, right? Yitzchok wants to give the broche to Esau. Rivka. And the realities of life makes it impossible for the partnership to work. It just won't work in the realities of life. In the ideal, of course. Esau and Yaakov are going to be the perfect partners, right? Remember, Yisochor Zvulun is just a replay of the ideal of Esau and Yaakov. That's what Yisochor Zvulun Be'etzem is, right? It's what Esau and Yaakov were supposed to be. So what happens? So what happened is that Rivka realized that in reality of life, Yaakov has to do both jobs. Right? But of course, we have to always remember that it's not really ours that the other side. Therefore, it was derech geneve, cheating. It's not real ours. You hear this insight of the Netziv. Remember that we cheated Esav out of it. It's not really ours. It's not inherently ours, that other side. But once we got it, we excelled in it. What did Yaakov do as soon as he got the broche of Esav? A new personality. Yaakov develops a second personality. Right? That Ishtam Yeshev Oyolim. You know what he does right afterwards? Right? Or right after, in the Torah, right? Right after we find the story of stealing of the brochets, what does he do? What happens? Lovon, right? Lovon. Extreme success in material things. Where did he get that tzad? Whose tzad is it? Is it his tzad? That's Esav's tzad. That one's that's Pshataki. You know who the zivug of Esav was. It says in Chazal that the zivug of Esav is Leah, right? So how did Leah end up with Yaakov? Because when Yaakov developed that other Esav personality, right? He took over after the broche. When he took over the broche of Esav, he became
the good side of Esau. The Gashmias also, and Yaakov has to play both games, right? So now Yaakov develops the double personality. So now there is a mocking for Leah to attach herself to her zivug within Yaakov. Right? Because you know, Leah, it says she knew that she'll end up with Esau. She did, but within Yaakov. This is why, how does Leah become Yaakov's wife? Through a trick. It's no coincidence, right? How does the same way that Yaakov becomes a shtikel Esau, so to speak, right? Leah becomes the wife of Yaakov through a trick, right? Also through a trick. So this is Leah, and this is Rachel. By the way, there is an incredible pshat how all the we find that all the shvotim that came out of Leah, all except one, have something to do with the original Esau job. Even Levi. What's the job of Levi? Korbonis. You know who was supposed to bring Korbonis? Esau. Esau was supposed to bring Korbonis. He was the one who's going. He's so involved in physical things that Korbonis is also, you bring physical animals. Right? There's only one exception in Leah's children. It's Yisochar. But by Yisochar, there is an incredible chazal by Yisochar. You know, Lemaise, what do we know about Yisochar? That night wasn't Leah's night. That night wasn't Leah's night, except that because of the Dudoin, right? So she gave up that night. Rachel gave up that night. Remember the story? That night was given up. So there is an exchange. There is an exchange. And there is an incredible zah. Do you know when Leah becomes one of the Imois? No, she wasn't supposed to be one of the Imois. It says that the status of Leah was not of one of the Imois. Only Rachel is one of the Imois. You know when was it decided that Leah is one of the Imois? That night. The Midrash. That night she became one of the Imois, and therefore she ends up in Meora Samach Pelo. Right? That night. Now she becomes her. So, if that's Rachel's night, right, then Yisochar, who is conceived that night, fits into the Rachel personality. Rachel is the real Zivug of Yaakov. Right, that's Yisochar. That's Yisochar. On Rachel's side, there is also a little bit of an exception. Yosef has in him a little bit of the other side. You know that Yosef is a double personality. There's one personality till he's 17 years old, that is a Ben Zekuni, that the Gemara says that Ben Zekuni means that everything that Yaakov knows he gives over to Yosef. So that is the Yaakov side of Yosef. And once he comes to Egypt, all of a sudden, he takes over the other side. He becomes the Mashbir, which is an Esau personality. Where did Yosef get, if he's a product of Rachel, right? Where did Yosef get the Leah personality? So there is an anchor. Did you ever hear that the Marsho in Nido? The Meshech Chochmo brings it down. He says like this. Do you know that it says, the Chazal say, that by Dino, it says that Rachel became pregnant with Dino, right? And it says that Leah was mispalel, right? That she shouldn't have. Leah had a boy inside of her, and Rachel had a girl inside of her, and Leah prayed, right, that her boy should turn into a girl, so that Rachel shouldn't miss out. That's all it says. Says the Marshal, the shame Sefer Echod called, what was it called? Mefaneach Tzfunoi, something like that. And he says, the first one. Yeah. So he says, well, that was Yosef in Leah's womb. So here it fits in, everything fits in. Now, Leah represents the Zivug of Esau. Well, I'm just telling you, Derech Agav, this. The Yisoid is that a balbos must know what is the Iker, right, and what's the Tofel. In other words, Yaakov has his main job, and then he has the other job that he has to excel in, right? But he has to realize that he only has to excel in it because we can't trust Esau, so we have to take care of it. In other words, how can you trust a world with only Goyish doctors, Of course, we need our doctors too, right? We need our businessmen, right? The way we're going to, we're going to wait till they're going to support us. We need our lawyers too, right? We're going to, they should have all the lawyers. We also need. But we have to remember that that is what we stole from Esau. The essence of Yaakov is Ishtom Yoshev Oyoli. Okay, that's you don't have to be ashamed to say that, by the way. You don't have to be ashamed. Because they sense it too, by the way. You know, if they have a certain degree of Yerashomayim, a certain degree, if they have a certain degree of Yerashomayim, they'll hear it. Right? And you may be, you may have an influence in their Kriyasit in Lat Torah because of that thing. No, listen, that's not the Iker. Right? Even if you work 8 hours a day, you learn 1 hour a day. Right? Your work should center around the hour a day that you have the Shir and the Daf Yomi, for instance.
Like the Baal Batim or an underclass.
I want to tell you something.
Wait a minute, there's an attitude.
The semantics here are crucial. As long as you are, watch out with the semantics and you don't say what you just said. Right? You understand what I mean? Semantics are crucial. Don't say what you just said. Right?
I'm saying it in a shift.
I understand, you have to be very careful because you can destroy yourself with this semantics. You understand what
but
I mean?
An attitude is behind semantics.
Exactly. The attitude they can pick up is, you are not an underclass by being a balebos. You are great by being a balebos. We need balebati.
The yeshiva belt, the balebos doesn't learn so well. He doesn't pick up shots. Well, around here, it's unbelievable.
So that's, you have to be very careful. Don't give that impression. The impression is there is the Iker of Yaakov and there is the Tofel of Yaakov. Which is very important because since we need, you need for Torah, you need the food too, right? So you need the balebatim, but that's not the ideal. That's not the ideal. Like Gemara says, there are all kinds of people in the world, right? There are people who work with the skins, right? Because otherwise, people wouldn't have any shoes. But the luck is the one who works with perfumes and not with the skins of animals, not the tannery, right?
In dealing with Balabatim, sort of connecting the two topics that we talked about, in dealing with Balabatim, Rav said you should work with your shitas. If you're trying to give over your shitas in a situation where what's at stake are two very big people who are disagreeing, and what it doesn't, it can be any machlokes between the gedolim. They're saying opposite things, and you're trying to give over your shitas. Now, in truth, you're in no position to be the one to say that the gadol who you're not following, because he can slaughter you in learning. He can finish you.
Absolutely.
So this is
why I introduced this with the idea of my certainty, right? My certainty. I am nobody, tachas raglem. Who am I compared to them? But what can I do? God gave me a certain amount of seichel, very, very little compared to those guys. But I can't work with anything else but my seichel, right? If Rabbi Meir is so smart that I can't even understand him, I'm just not going to paskel like Rabbi Meir, right? I'll just paskel like the other guy or like myself, even, because Rabbi Meir is so much smarter than I am, right? That I can't even reach him. The Gemara says that.
Can I ask you a practical question? Yeah. This is something which relates to someone who also... I'll make a statement, but it's really a question. I don't see any value in Balabatim. When we talk about Balabatim, even educated Balabatim, great in material, being involved in decision-making, who's the little of there? It's not a mitzvah that I say. And they're not qualified to do it. Why do I have to introduce them to this whole idea?
I don't follow. They want to make decisions for themselves, for their families. They want to make decisions.
On what?
All the time.
They are making.
They are giving money to institutions. They have a voice.
They sit on boards.
All the time.
They vote. They vote.
It makes an enormous difference. It's not that.
Why can't you handle this question? You picked playing as a rab. They picked a certain person as a rab. He's their teacher. He's the person they have confidence in. Yeah. Let him deal with it on his level.
I'm your rabbi.
Right,
you listen to me, right? Because you trust me, right?
In question of Godel Adur.
Good, but they want to know. I mean, they are going to support the institution.
Is there a value in saying, all right, listen, I think you should give to here because the Godel Adur, well, I hold the Godel Adur is behind it, or a better approach is, I think we should give to here for the following reasons.
Today is crucial. Today's
crucial. Objective reasons why I think it's good for them to give to this institution without getting into because there's a Godel behind it.
Oh, no, but if, you know, today you're asked questions, you know, should I give to this place or to this dose? Should I support this? All the time you're being asked questions, right? And you're being put on the spot. You have to give an answer.
No, they're limited. Answer them in a way, but avoid the issue of God. You want to give money to a place? I'll give you a good reason why you should give money to a place. I'll be there.
I understand. They know. I understand. They hear. They read the papers. There is this one and there is this one.
So
if this one is right,
feel,
then...
I'll tell them the reason why I feel you should give to this institution. Sure. Why I feel
exactly.
You should give to this.
Exactly. Now, you decide, you know, this is what should be done. Now, listen to me. If you have to take a stand, that's exactly what you're saying.
But then they know that you mean that you're saying that...
Of course they know. You don't fool them. Right. Don't fool them. But I'm telling you, you have a right to take a stand, right? Being careful what you say about the other side, you not only do you have a right, this is the only way to be effective. Right, because you tell him a clear-cut thing, right? Hit Lahavdol, Hilaf Abdolis. You know, they knew. We have to learn from the Rishonim their methods. You know, it says by Veloy Lomalti, right? My Sovoim. I'm sorry that I couldn't learn from Lobon. He was so good in his riches. Why can't I be as good in my toy? You know, there's such a thing, you know. But Hitler said it. You just show a certain opinion, right? So it was Germany at that time. If you, right?
Maybe the Rambam was referring to that also. If we saw a Baal Bas say this about the concept behind the Rambam, so isn't there a worry that maybe they'll go and pass the halachas, even if they themselves are capable, but they'll feel?
That you have to say. Yeah, but the Sheikh will tell you. Would you decide? Right, to cut yourself, you know, to make an operation without having the training. You understand that not. So somebody who hasn't been learning Gemara, you know, you didn't learn, how can you make a decision concerning that? So you have to create, you have to develop a pyramid, you tell them. Somebody who's a little bit better than you, you trust him. See what he says. Right? I'm a little bit better than you. Fine, trust me. That's the idea. This idea behind. Okay, any other answer?
This is a little bit different subject. Aside from the initial liberal brings down and not being discouraged by, you mentioned this point that as far as interrupting the little Krishna to give shalom. So it says that he says that one of the people you should that you can interrupt for is someone who is rich. Because
it's
someone that's
right
to give
Kavod
to.
Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim. That was one of the shots, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I was trying to understand that. I mean,
yeah.
It says that Kavod Shmarsel gave Shlomo Melech, the Brachos is going to be wealthy, right, and be smart. But Arichas Yomim, he made a tally in if they'll be good or bad. So I think that one of the questions from Radak said that Arichas Yomim was totally in good or bad. But wealth is not. So really he could just promise some wealth without saying if he'll be good.
Because that's already, that's like totally bemazel sort of. Not on tzadikros.
Right.
So.
Whatever. So, I don't know, the Lashmalas seems like being rich doesn't mean that it's not a
gala
that the person is
sonic
or anything.
No, but it's a broche. I understand. But it's a broche. In this world, it's a broche, right?
But it's
much more
that a Russia could have that same broche.
Of course, but
it should not be necessarily a broche.
But remember, this is the distortion of this imperfect world of ours, right? In a perfect world, only good people should be rich and bad people should be poor, right? Good people should be healthy and bad people should be sick, right? But we live in an imperfect world, right? And
why do you say imperfect? I mean,
imperfect world, that's the whole...
That's not the way Olam Hazeh was set up.
No, it's not true. The original Olam Hazeh was set up with Midas Hadin. Right? Midas Hadin means that good people have it good and bad people have it bad. There was Midas HaRachamim to balance it out. Right? I didn't want to speak about the balance between Midas Hadin and Midas HaRachamim. It's a very, very important concept. Because it's a very, very important concept, because eventually... Too much rachamim, creates the gap. Hester ponim, and in Hester ponim, you don't see connections anymore. And rich people, poor, bad people can be rich. It's an imperfect world that we live in, right? But in a perfect world, good people are rich.
So I don't understand. So what's the point of Chavetz Chaim? Why is it? What's the basis of the fact that it's roy to give kavod to someone who's wealthy?
Because it's a broche. that the Rosh also has it, right? That doesn't take away the fact that it's a broche. He received it because of the distortions, right? Because of the tzaddik v'raloi, Rosh of etoivloi. We live in a world where that problem exists.
So, I mean, assuming it is a broche, I don't see what...
So therefore, if you were given such a... Either if you were given either kovoid or ashirus, you were given something by God, right? I have to respect you for it. Right? Because you were given, right, if Lehavdil Elef Abdolas, the government gives you a medal of honor, right? So I have to respect you for it. The reverse of it.
Says that money can be a punishment.
Good. That's part of the distortion. Right? In the ideal world, right? Everything is perfect. In a perfect world, right? The balance of the world, the harmony of the world is that good people are rich, bad people are poor. That is the harmony. Everything else is a distortion.
I mean, but you don't know for sure that the person is getting
it. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. So it's a distortion. So it doesn't matter. It's a distortion. A distortion means that there is, you see, in a perfect world, right? In a perfect world, voyem shomoyatish monsesai, right? Nature is as good to you. Did I ever tell you this? Nature is as good to you as nature is as faithful to you as you are to a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the way the world was set up. As long as Adam HaRishon was perfectly faithful to Hashem, then the earth didn't give any thorns. Right? The moment he is unfaithful, so nature is unfaithful to him. Right? So therefore, we have to realize that Ashirus, in its original form, right? Like long life. Is that something? Long life is a choshev ezach. Why? Because long life is associated with a broche. In this distorted world of hester ponim, there is no direct cause and effect between a good person and how long he lives. Good is part of our distortion, but we can't take away the fact that this is a medal of honor in the original, harmonious, perfect world. Yeah. Again? Mamzerim. You mean the unfairness of Mamzerim? Let me tell you the approach. The approach here is the following. You know, the problem, of course, is how can a person suffer for somebody else's fault? Right? That's what bothers people. Right? Now, you see, you will never be able to answer the problem of fairness. What you have to do is to take it away from the realm of fairness. Fairness is not the question here. It's not a criterion in any way.
Wait,
let me bring out the whole point. You see, let's say, for instance, a person has some kind of a venereal disease, right? And he lives with someone and has a child. The child is born sick, and for the rest of his life, for all his life, is going to be a sick child. Where's the fairness of it?
So you're going to blame the parents.
Just say, well, but that's natural. I mean, that's genetic. You mean to say that there is such a thing as spiritual, as physical genes? Why can't you hear that there is such a thing as spiritual genes? Rav Olba says it?
I don't find it convincing.
So let me bring out the whole point. So the point is like this. So if I throw a stone at someone, right, and I break his head, is he suffering for my sin or is he suffering the consequences of my actions? Do you hear the difference? If I say he's suffering for my sin, that means he's being blamed. But suffering the consequences of my actions, that's the way the world is set up. That people suffer from each other's bad actions. So if someone did something so bad, right? He had the relations with an HSH, right? So say, but where is the... It's true, it's a terrible thing, right? You pull the trigger and you kill someone. It's his fault that you pull the trigger. You're suffering the consequences.
The difference between the two is that one takes place in the physical realm and the other one takes place.
So yeah, your job is to equate the physical with the spiritual. If you can hear it in the physical world, why can't you hear it in the spiritual world?
Why did Reversion create such a mahus? The creator of mahus, once you've got a physical world, that a rock goes through somebody's head, it kills him. Mela. But why did he create a mahus and mahus? So let the two people get
skinned. But wait a second. But the same question you have, why people with venereal diseases, right, have children who are sick? Is that the same question? Right? Do you accept it because that's the reality?
Right? I feel it. But I feel it.
You're right, intellectually, 100% right.
I don't think that there really is a huge... The problem is that then the person will come back to you and tell you, so Take, you're right. So why is it this way, Take? That in the physical world, because you are sick, somebody, if you shoot a gun, somebody else should get killed. Where is the fairness of it?
That's just the economy.
What?
That's what they're turning around. That's where you should start.
Oh, so if
they're
that...
Really, their questions really...
In the physical world. Physical, oh, so if that bothers you... Now, if it bothers... If there, this... The physical... He says, yes, people suffer consequences for each other's mistake. Oil or Russia or the train, or they hear. Right? Well, they don't hear it in the spiritual world. That you have to... What's the difference? You tell me the difference. They won't be able to get out of it. I mean, why don't you hear it? I mean, if Rebbeinu Shalom says that that is a sickness, right? Aishas Ish is a sickness. So, and that will be transferred with a spirit, your spiritual genes. He'll hear it. Right? But what about if he comes back and says, listen, I can't hear this imperfect world. So that, there is an approach, and but it's already more subtle and more difficult. But again, you may pull it off. And the idea is the following. You know, we have an awareness that I am I, and my grandfather is my grandfather. We're just two different people. It happened to be that my grandfather is my father's father. But that's all. I mean, right? That's how we see it. We don't see it that way. We see it completely different. We see it, let me give you an example. Let's say all of a sudden, let's say, my left arm would become self-aware. Mm-hmm. Self-aware. Now, it's my left arm, all of a sudden starts thinking by itself, right? And it starts saying, hey, why am I in jail if that guy on the other side pulled the trigger? I just didn't do it. Where is the fairness that my left hand should be in jail when my right hand pulled the trigger? Right? So the guy said, wait a second. But there's a oneness there. There's a oneness there. You know what we believe? That we are all basically one. Except that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, the individual, you, who is just a little part of that general goof, which includes the totality of all the souls. Right? He gave you self-awareness, but in reality, you are a little finger, and you are a toe, and you are part of this, and you are part of the mindset. That's why, you know the Bali Kabbalists say that. I'm not making it up. Right? So your question is only because you are given self-awareness? That's nothing to do with self-awareness. At the moment you accept the overall oneness of all of us, right? Then the question disappears. Yeah? So you have to work. I made it the kids or Nimrods. But the idea is, you have to change completely our awareness of our own self. I once made it step by step. I said, who am I? I look in the mirror, that's me, right? No, it's not true. You can get transplanted piece by piece, right? And I just read an article not long ago. Listen to this. That you can change every part of the body, that's a long time ago. That you can change a heart, it's a long time ago, right? Take somebody else's heart and somebody else's arm, right? Meanwhile, you're still the same person because of the brain. So listen to what I read. I read, I don't know, I don't vouch for it, that since there are two parts of the brain, there is a left side and there is a right side, and the right side is one function, the left side is another function. If the one side is impaired, it's possible for the other side to take over the job of the other side. I don't know, I know nothing about it. I'm just thinking what I read. So theoretically, if you transplant a half a brain at the time, you can even theoretically make brain transplants. So who am I?
Transplant half a brain?
Half a brain, one half from Joe. Okay. And then after it works in, then you transfer the other side to this side, and then you transfer the other side. So I mean theoretically, every single part of the body has been transferred. So the guy was stuck, so who am I? So maybe my memory. Or a person has amnesia. You mean your memory is your essence. And if you have amnesia, then your essence is gone. A person that lived for 80 years, he had amnesia, and now he doesn't know who he is, so then he's not the same person. You throw him off, because take, the essence, because it becomes even more difficult, because according to the Balei Kabbalah, even the neshama is not the essence of you. We say neshama shenosato bi. In other words, if you say, you gave me a neshama, what does it imply? I am not a neshama. If my I is my neshome, can I say neshomo shenosato bi, right? See, the al-kohra, that the I is not my neshome, and it's not my goo. It's something completely abstract.
What is the essence of a person that I can't
where the neshome touches your guf. That's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. That point of touching, that is the essence of it.
But where is it? Is it a physical point there?
Of course not. Of course not. It can't be physical. But you, what are you gaining? What are you gaining with this? You know, by all of us, you make people aware that our awareness of our own self, and the maise, I want to tell you, the guy, Bale Kabole, I saw, they shry. Like, what do you mean, you are you? Who do you think you are? Yeah? You are a genetic compound, right, of, you know, this one and that one and that. What's it, shut, you are you? Right? What do you mean, you are going to do something? When you do something, you know what, you know who is doing it? Right? Your hands, you know whose hands they are? Right? It's Rabbi Akivas, and you know, you are fooling around with their neshamas. You know, they are attached to you too. You know, we are compounds. Remember, we are only 600,000 according to Bale Kabole. The original, you know, the word goof. There is a goof of the neshamas. Did you ever hear this concept? Yeah. Yeah. The goof. That's the Bale Kabole say that there is an original goof, right? With all 600,000 general, yeah, right, exactly, right, and there are. Did I ever tell you the pshat in Ikvus of the Meshich according to Olam Godel? Ikvus of the Meshich. Why? Because in our generation, we are all from the Ekev. We are all from the Ekev, from the feet. This is why our drive to step over the land of Eretz Yisrael is so strong. Because we are ikvis of the Meshich, because there was a generation that the neshomes came from the moyach. There were other very materialistic generations. They came from other parts of the body, right? The arms, right? But the neshomes of Meshiach's times, this is ikvis from the ekev, right? So there is such a thing as the original goof. Do you hear what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to just get the person to realize that our awareness of our own self, right, is not that clear at all. And once you realize that we are just part, with a part of a total, with self-awareness, then you will hear that your left hand can say, what did I do wrong? My right hand pulled the trigger. Right? If we are that, right? So that is the derech to answer the physical problem of the unfairness.
We don't say it with the left hand, but we say it with other... We say that we're not... We do say...
The what?
The separateness or apparent separateness does make a gradation. It does make it, we don't lump things together. We don't have collective punishments. Maybe you know when with the shus the mashkes and then everyone. But in general, when it comes to bat din and things like that, we don't lump together things.
What mean in you mean in lema, in Lama, human courts?
Lemaish is so fine. So if
Rabbi Shmaya,
but.
Why?
He's not thinking
of an avoid, because they're the same. Oh, sorry. I have to tell you over this Svasem. It's amazing Svasem. You know, remember Svasem?
No, but go on.
Yeah, yeah. Where are the plane now? It's an amazing Svasem. Like, where you could have an avoid. Remember by Korach? In kemois kolodon yomusun eile, v'im pekid, what's the lotion over there? V'im pekudas kolodon mipokeid. What's the lotion in pekudas kolodon mipokeid? By Korah. What does it mean?
Kichelon.
What do you mean?
Learn from you now to visit the
Poiked, right? But what is the pshat? What is the poiked? Right? What is the pshat of pekudas kolodom? The same thing. Im kmi pekido is yomamise. So what is the repetition? Right? So this fascinating is like this. You know there's a problem. Why the Ribbono Shel Olam had to, right? Why Moshe Rabbeinu had to prove, he had to prove that he was right? Only if they die a supernatural death. What about if they all die a natural death? Then I can't be right, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember? Why not? Why can't I be right? Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu prove himself right if they die a natural death? Right? And there's another thing. Take a look. We don't have the time. That the Torah stresses. And they were swallowed. And it was covered up. It was covered up. The swallowing was covered up. Interesting. Why does the Torah stress that? This is an incredible word. It says like this. You know that it says that the Korah Shepikeyacho Yomaro Lishtuze, he saw Shmuel. So Shmuel. What's that? He saw Shmuel, so therefore what? So therefore he's right. So if it means because if he's going to have great grandchildren, so why Shmuel? Any great grandchild, why Shmuel? So Shad is like this, you see. It says poikei davoi novois abonim val shilei shire. What's the pshat? Pshat is that poikei, that there is such a thing, I touch it up as spiritual genius. If you do an avera, though you are poigem, you create flawed genes, and that goes over to your child. So your child can get over it. He can fix it up. But difficult. In other words, if Al Capone will have a child, right, he may not become a gangster, but he will not become the godlador, because he has already limited his possibilities, his potential. That's poikei davoin avoin avois. That is our reality, the reality of the spiritual genetic code, says the Sfasemis. If Koirach, so Shmuel, he figures to himself, if I am wrong, I am so wrong that Shmuel can't come out of me because I know the genetic spiritual code. The words are mine, but that's what Sfasemis says it. You hear? In other words, if Shmuel comes out of me, I can't be wrong. So therefore, I must be right. Now, Koirach, Pikeyachoyo, he knew the system. So what went wrong? Nothing went wrong, and Moshe Rabbeinu knows that. That if Korach is wrong, Shmuel can't come out. And Moshe knows that Shmuel has to come out. There is only one Eitzet, says the Sfasemis. Destroy erase the life of Korach retroactively. Ke'ilu loy hoyo. You know what you do? We can't recreate the past. The Ribbono shel Olam can. Once you recreate the past and ke'ilu Korach loy hoyo, then the genetic code doesn't apply, obviously.
Is that
where there's no trace? If he's going to have a regular death, and the laws of Pekido apply, then Shmuel can come out. Impossible. Hey, what's going to happen? The earth is going to swallow it and cover it up. What is the symbolism of covering up? Lemafreya Koirach ceased existing. Incredible word. So what do we get out of this? That the Inyan, that there is an Inyan of Pekido, there is an union of a genetic spiritual code. Code 2. Hey.